Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Animus wants what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Planned a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Wall.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Fantastic. Oh, my God. Good God, golly. I never felt so good my whole life as I do right now. I got to share it with all you people. Wow. This has been another... Look how quick this week has just gone by, folks. 7 days, zip, zam, zoom. There we are. One more time, you're back on the radio with us. Longest running Bigfoot station ever. And boy, I'll tell you, we've been a success. And we just keep climbing those charts, folks. I got to do some shout-outs to some super, super folks. Man, I got to tell you straight up. Those people at Gentech, let me tell you what they do. They're the electrical and backup power systems. You heard of, like, Generac and Kohler and all those things, these generators. When your house goes down, you got no gas, you got no electric and all that kind of good stuff. These guys here in California are outstanding, okay? And especially with them, my God, they're turning off the grids because of the fires. The heat's too damn much because of the global warming and all the other damn things that go along with it. Guy named Ryan Smith, met him today. What a superstar. This guy knows his stuff. T- top, bottom, inside out. And let me tell you something. He takes care of his people. Takes care of his people. I'm one of the new people he's going to be taking care of. So I want to do a shout-out to Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. And they're called Gentech. G-E-N-T-E-C, folks. Google them. They're there. They got all kinds of credentials. Another guy I want to say hello to is my good buddy Eric from the Drifters. Under the Boardwalk. You guys know all the songs. He's the lead singer there. He used to be with KB, Calvin Boyd, and all the other guys, Tommy. And he's leading a tour right now. And I'm going to be involved in that tour, and I feel pretty damn proud. And then another guy that I want you guys to remember this name. You can Google him right now if you want to. His name is Keith Reed, K-E-I-T-H, Reed, R-E-E-D. He was a writer and editor for ESPN, CNN freelancer, writer for the USA Today, and he's doing a big, big story on yours truly and our team. And here's the best part of my week that I love is to tell everybody the latest and greatest restaurant that's around. Well, you know, everybody's been telling me, Tommy, where can we go? We can't travel because of the pandemic. So, you know, we're French, and we love the French cuisine. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a place called La Boheme in Palo Alto, California. Mary and Malik, they're the head people out there. I think it's Mark is the chef. I had their bill of fare. My God, unbelievable. I couldn't handle it. It was so delicious. And it went from soup to nuts, and let me tell you, I thought it was in France that evening. Well, guess what? They're going to have a big shindig coming up on Bastille Day. That's like their Independence Day like we have, 4th of July, on the 14th of July. I'm going to tell you, they're filling up like hell. So give them a call, La Boheme, Palo Alto, California. You want to go to France, but you can't get there, but you love the cuisine, you go over there and say hello to Mary and Malik. And I believe it's Mark is the chef. This guy is off the hook. You just tell them Bigfoot sent you. Man, I'll tell you, folks, these guys, and they treat you like $1 million, like you're over there in France. You think to yourself, oh, my God, you were the only ones in the restaurant. You were royalty. La Boheme, folks, that's what it's all about. That's the restaurant of the week. Well, let me see who we got with us tonight. We got my good buddy Will. Will's with us, Rocky?
Yes, sir.
We got
Will.
The rock star himself. We got
Father Ray. We got Alec Turn. Yes. Got Father Ray. We got Alec Turn.
Oh, Alec Turn.
We got
that's my boy. They don't get any
Swede.
Better than him. Who else?
We got the Swede.
The Swede's with us, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, he's with us.
That the Swede last week and Mr. Tribbell got into some heavy discussions. And boy, they were rocking and rolling and volleying back and forth. And who knows to say who was victorious. But that's the reason why carried over to this week. I had some business I had to attend to for the company, but I'm back today. And I want to get in on this volley with everybody else. So, first of all, how's my rock star, my co-host?
I'm so good. The mowing's all done. Had a pleasant day today. It's nice outside. Okay, my wife's still aggravated because my dog killed a rabbit and ate its head off and brought it in the house. Other than that, we're all good.
You got some victuals for dinner.
That's what I tried to tell her, but, well, she didn't listen. She thinks she thinks my dog's a mass murderer because this is the second rabbit that is wiped out. First one that is brought in the house, though.
Well, did you give her the effects of life on rabbits?
I just gave up.
Sometimes that's the best thing in the world to do. Don't say nothing.
That's right.
That's a free pass in life.
I do
a lot
of that.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call Mr. Tribbell and the Swede back on. And let them continue where they left off last week. And then I'll chime in now and then if that's okay with you, Rockstar.
Well, it's your show, so I think you can probably get away with it.
You think I can? Don't tell nobody, okay? All right, so Will,
okay.
Are you out there, son?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good. It weed you out there.
It was a good show.
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Okay, well, I got so many calls and texts from people last week saying, Tom Biscardi, you should have seen these two cats last night. They said they were in your footsteps quicker than hell, and they did one hellacious job. By the time they started and the show ended, it went zippity-doo-dah, quick as hell. So I don't know where you
great.
Left off. Didn't have a chance to hear, and I didn't listen to the podcast. So who wants to take the floor first?
I'm just getting, Tom's got me so fired up already, and he's like going like crazy. I just didn't want everybody to forget. Don't forget to go to searchingforbigfoot.com and hit the store and get you some merchandise. We got to do a little merchandise in here.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That's a beautiful thing. I really appreciate that. I really do. Oh, I got to make this announcement to Father Ray real quick. Father Ray, Canterbury 5th, number 6, victorious! Ding, 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 ding!
Okay.
I don't want people to know what you did, Father Ray, because you're a priest. So, nevertheless, sweet, go ahead, do your stuff.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah, we had a good talk about it last week. You know, we really didn't come to any serious conclusions, but we did come to some conclusions about the event in Russia. And, you know, mostly that, I guess, whittling it down is that they didn't necessarily do all their filming or any of their filming on site. And
we debunked them.
We debunked them, yeah. Right on. I'm with you. Knuckles for you, buddy. Yeah, we stopped them in the tracks on that, but yeah, it was, you know, I was kind of searching through the evidence, and it's all good. Like, you know, we finally got to the point of, you know, it is kind of flattering that they used your footage, Tom. Out of everybody's they could have used, they used yours. That's, you know, we kind of come to that conclusion. And
I loved when their scientists from Russia said, oh, and this is the real footage, the real deal. Get it?
Yes.
Yeah.
You get it.
That they used to say, biatch.
Yeah, right.
I love it, man. You know? But I got to tell you this. I was thinking, well, did they really waste 3 to 4 weeks of our time? Not really. Because, you know, the time that I put in, the time Alex put in, the time Will put in, the time Rocky put in, time Swede put in, the time everybody else put in, including Father Ray, you want to say to yourself, well, if they were in front of me, I'd strangle them to death, okay? But we're not that way no more, are we? What we do now is real simple. Thank you. Go with God. I hope life treats you as well as it's treating us. And at the same point in time, I know, Swede, you're waiting me to come in with a singer, but I'm not going to do it. I promised the Lord up above today I was going to be a good boy. And I'm on that road tonight. But at the same point in time, I just want to put a word out there for you, for all you jokers, all you morons, all you idiots, all you people that all you do is hang on to our shirt tails. And everything we do or say, you go out and mimic and say that, oh, it was your deal, or you did it better. If you did it better, you wouldn't be coming on from behind. So you're nothing. You're a Z-A-Zit, okay? When you want to know the forefront of what's going on in the world, why do you think the people all over the world tune in on a Wednesday night? They want to hear the real deal, the real McCoy, and that's what they're listening to now. So let's forget that, put it in the past. Even though we did get some good contacts out of the deal where people want to go back there and said, why don't you do a follow-up, Tom, on the real thing, which we may be able to do also. So you never say no, and you just continue on. Well, the theme of our show tonight and was last week was Bigfoot stories over the past 50 years. So what I'd like to do is take it one by one and get each one of my A-team fellas, the ones that have been out on the expedition with us, and take the floor, take the podium, and tell us how you got into the Bigfoot field, how you got to meet me and my team, and how where we went, and what you accomplished, and where you are today. Let's start with the alphabetical A's, Alex. Alex, how are you, son?
Doing good, Pop. How you doing?
Did I catch, are you eating? Are you munching on something?
No. No, not yet. I got stuffed peppers in the oven, though. I cooked them before the show.
Oh, I love stuffed peppers. Did you got the green ones, the red ones, the orange ones, or the yellow ones?
Orange and yellow, just four. Two of
them. Oh, isn't that nice? Orange and yellow,
yeah.
Folks. Now, when you mix orange and yellow, you get...
Red?
Belly full.
Delicious.
No. If you had paint and you had yellow and orange together, what color do you think comes out? When you mix yellow and orange paint, what color comes out? Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Still an orange. A light orange, sunshine. Just light.
Huh. You know
red
what,
and yellow
you
makes
you
orange.
You know what it
right?
does? Comes out to, yes, towards a red. Do you know that my first name, Carmine, is in the dictionary? Did you know that, Rockstar?
No,
that's why I don't
do.
Use it. Everybody said to me, what's C stand for? It's Carmine, C-A-R-M-I-N-E. What you need to do is go to dictionary and see what my name means. It means deep red.
Ooh.
Isn't Carmine or even the name Carnation, right? It comes from red.
Yes, it does. Is that Will Treebell?
That was me. Yeah. I was still pondering. I was still pondering yellow and orange.
Oh gosh, I thought you guys knew all about that shit, but I guess you don't. But that's okay. That's okay. So we'll ponder together the show, and then I'll give you the answer. So here's the deal. How many years we go back, Alex?
We go back, 14 years now.
14 years. Do you hear
right
that,
before
folks?
The you-know-what, right?
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, 14 years. It's more than a decade, more than a dozen, more than a baker's dozen. One more than a baker's dozen. You've got the podium, son. Tell everybody how you got into the Bigfoot business, how the whole thing came about, and how you got to meet me and the team and where you are today.
Well, what started me off was getting chased out of the woods when I was, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, up in New Hampshire hunting with my dad. And I left because some dogs were following us and some puppies because of me. And up there, one of the things, the dogs will chase down the deer, so the hunters will shoot the dog. So he didn't want these dogs getting shot on account of me. And he kept, bitching. So I was like, finally, you know what? Screw it. I'll just take the dogs back. You go hunting. And I was about, 4 or 5 miles in and walked out of the woods on my own. It was pretty much of a kind of a beaten trail, a deer path. So it wasn't really like I could get lost. And I'm walking back and got, followed out, make a long story short. Went on and off for a few minutes, something following. I was in the woods, the dog staring, me staring. Finally ran my ass out of the path and down to the truck and got in the back of the truck and just sat there. And been a, investigator, researcher pretty much my whole life since then. As soon as I got my license, my friends and I would go off to different locations, around New England. And we had a lot of stuff happening then that was Bigfoot related and then some stuff that wasn't. So we kind of, would gravitate towards everything. And as far as what got me into the business per se, years ago, 20, 25 years ago, listening to the radio, Art Bell, Kevin Smith, was it Gaza? What was his name? Got him in New England. And then, of course, met TJ through the internet and started calling with TJ and talking to TJ while you guys were driving around the country. And next thing I know, you guys were popping into my house, visiting with, let's see, Bob, you, TJ, Bob, Chief Dan, JC, pretty sure somebody else was there. And then we drove across town. I was over in the East Valley then. And we met the professor. Remember the professor, the guy crunching the numbers and stuff and had written all the books. We went in his house. It was just wall-to-wall research and books everywhere. And that was the first time I physically met you guys. And I guess that would be, you know, 07, 08, around then. And we've been in touch ever since. And the first time I got out in the field with you was in the White Mountains, Apache, White River, Arizona, the Fort Apache Reservation. It's actually Navajo County. And then up where Chief Dan lives is Apache County. I always get a kick out of that. So the Navajo Nation is Apache County, and the Apache Nation is Navajo County. And, you know, and then we did our research up there. We had our outing at the casino, and been together a few times after that, traveled the country, I don't know, twice. And then I couldn't go with you when you went to Florida, but you did take Mitch.
What was the most interesting time that you had been with us?
Oh, well, the most interesting, of course, would be up in the White Mountains, McNairy. It was our second or third night up there. And we were going to investigate some sounds on the side of the mountain. And we had some action right off the bat. Driving in, must have been 8, 9 o'clock because it was already dark, just barely dark. And it was summer. Actually, it was right around this time, wouldn't it? It was May or June.
Yep.
So it was right around this time. Got dark around, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock. So it was right around that time. We're driving in on the road, and we heard this, like, loud scream, like you would hear on the internet for Bigfoot. And it came from our left, down the hill, so to speak. We're driving on a kind of a switchback road, you know, driving on the side of the mountain. It wasn't really a switchback, but parallel to the mountain. And then we all stopped, and we heard it again in front of us. And then we all got out of the trucks and decided to spread out, and we heard it again up on top of the hill to our right. So we spread out, and of course, you know, I finagled my way to the furthest up the hill. And we had a couple of near misses, and then I got something stepping behind the tree, so I focused on the tree. It stepped out from the tree, and it looked me dead in the eye. And it shook.
What was it like when you... I love
gave me a little
said.
left, right.
And it looked at me dead in the eye. What went through your body? What went through your mind?
You know, it was the second time I had seen one, and I had reached out to you after the first time, which was right about a year prior. And up in the other location that we went later that trip in Aztec Peak, we drove down you. I forget who was with us, but Rob, me, you, Rob. We drove down and met Mitch in Aztec Peak. That was the previous sighting the year before. But, you know, we're all amped up. We're pretty excited, right? We got our night vision. We got walkies. We got heat seekers.
Thermal
at
imaging.
The time we had the heat. Yep, we had the mono night vision and the heat seekers. And I knew something was up there because the heat seeker was kind of going off. And the year before when I had seen something, you know, we looked each other in the eye, and it was as startled as I was. This time it was a little different because, you know, it knew we were trying to find it. And I knew it went behind the tree. It must have known that I could see it. And I'm staring at that tree. and plain as day, it just stepped out. And it looked right at me. Now, this was a smaller one, whether it was a juvenile or a female or what. It was smaller and relatively thin. It was still, you know, my height or bigger, but smaller, I would say, compared to all the reports. And it looked me right in the eye, had a more, the what I had seen the year before had a very, very human face. This had a more, almost like a chimp face or a Planet of the Apes face or a, like an Al Cap face. It seemed to have big jowls, but it was thin. And it looked right at me, looked me in the eye, and didn't, like, get excited or scared. It just shook, like a left-to-right shake. And I immediately knew it was saying, let me go by. Just like you would in the supermarket. When you're walking down the supermarket aisle and somebody steps in front of you, or you're going through a doorway at the same time as somebody else and you guys do a little left-right shake, I've come to believe that that's some kind of hereditary language, sign language that humans have probably used you know, thousands of years, and can't say millions because humans haven't been here that long. But immediately I knew and felt what that person, creature, was trying to tell me. And it was trying to tell me, let me go by. And the reason was is because where it was going behind me where the other creature was, and right at that moment, you and Bob came over the radio and said, Alex, we see you, we know it's you. I won't get into why shorts and all that, but you knew it was me. You could see me on the floor, and something was coming up behind me. And just as you told me that, I heard the trees snapping and quivering behind me, and I turned around. Didn't want to be, you know, shocked or afraid or scared like I was previous or people have ever been in the past. So, and because you guys were there, of course, I did not want to do the wrong thing. I charged right at whatever was coming at me. And it seemed to immediately break off whatever it was doing and run the other way. And kind of similar to my first incident all those years ago in New Hampshire, it would run a little bit, and I could hear it crashing through trees, breaking trees, jumping over trees and stepping on twigs and stuff that I couldn't do. And if you remember, that's a thick forest with lots of deadfall. And it would stop. And it would stop because it was getting too far ahead of me. And I would kind of catch up to where I thought it was. I would look around, and then the woods would explode, and it would take off again. And that's kind of exactly what was happening to me, but in reverse, when that thing was following me out of the woods. I'd hear it coming. I'd stop and turn around, and the woods would go silent. I'd start walking again, and you'd hear twigs breaking again, much more stealthy, kind of almost like hunting me, which is what gave me that kind of flight or fight or flight kind of fear that day that I started running. But I don't think in that original incident that whatever was following me out of the woods was trying to hurt me. I think it was, I was a little kid and it was just following me out of the woods like any, you know, adult would, so to speak. Back to McNary, whatever that was, it wanted to go by. Something was behind me. I chased it. Finally, after four or five times of running, stopping, you know, I was probably, I don't know, quarter mile, half mile, I don't know how far down the road, but I was on the side of the hill, and there was no way I was going to try to find my way back to where we were, so I went down the hill on the road and made my way back out to you guys. And then the next night, you know, not to belittle that or anything, but the next night we had an amazing time at the casino in Pine Top Lakeside where we showed one of your films and all the artifacts and some of the equipment and got to basically be celebrities and, you know, entertain
the locals. I got you. Remember that, huh?
Oh, yeah, that was a great time.
That was one hellacious night. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, let me just break in here. Excuse me. They announced it on the tribal radio station that the Bigfoot team was going to be there and that it was called Bigfoot Lives or Bigfoot Lives 2. I don't know. It was one of the two in which most, I think it was Bigfoot Lives, that a lot was filmed there on the reservation, and their local people were in the movie. Well, I've got to tell you, folks, my God, we got stampeded. And all I remember was Bob saying, "Hey, boss," he says, "can you go get me another shopping bag? I filled up three of them. I can't put any more. The money's falling out." Do you remember that?
Yeah, we had, like, money everywhere. It was like something on a TV show.
It was unbelievable, okay?
Yeah.
And I was so honored how that whole thing came to play. And I want you to understand, we made a damn good donation to the tribe the next day. And we've been their friends ever since. AK, who's up there, he retired cop, because he's the one that gave us some of the stuff that they had found that they had investigated. And, I mean, you go look at Bigfoot Lives, and you'll see that they went and investigated the local cops. And all of a sudden, they're going around the corner, and here's one of these creatures keeping up with the squad car as she's doing X amount of miles per hour. Remember that?
Yeah. And how about the one with the lady cop in the laundry and such, and chasing it through the yard?
Yep. That's the woman I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, they call it the stink bug. There's these big black bugs, and they call them stink when people step on them and stuff. And they call them bugs. And these creatures were coming down from the fires in the mountains and knocking on the damn windows, scaring the hell out of the people, okay? And I can understand the reason why. You know, it is what it is, but the people are just so genuine. They're just people that are there for you and you know, accommodating. Because I got nothing bad to say. It's all good stuff. And I got to know the chief real well. He just died a year or two ago, and he had my brother, AK, the day before he died. He says, "Tell my brother Tom that I'll see him in the new world." And he did. He called me. He told me all about it. God rest his soul. He's one hell of a man. He's one of the best people I ever knew. I'll tell you that straight up. But it is what it is, and life still goes on. Why don't you tell everybody a story about Seligman?
So Seligman.
Seligman, Arizona. Let me just tell you, folks. Let me set the stage for him. Seligman, Arizona is on that route of Route 66, the historic route going across the country. And the first time I ever went through there, I saw this thing called a Roadkill Cafe. And anything you wanted, if you wanted deer, you wanted raccoon, you wanted possum, they had it there at this cafe. So at least you could sample some of that kind of stuff. But they made vittles out of it, and people enjoyed it. So, but never knowing that the mountain area, thanks to Alex, okay, because I credit a lot of it to him, met this guy up there, Larry, and he had some. What was the elevation up there on those 30 acres?
So it's about 5,000 down towards Route 66. And then as you get up to Larry's camp, it's up to about 6,600. And if you remember, it's, you know, 12 miles from Route 66, dirt roads all the way, washed out, snowed out sometimes, been stuck both ways. That was a pretty cool night spent stuck there, a weekend, up there investigating a report on the northern part of Seligman Forest, which I think is still on your website last time I looked. But so Larry got in touch with us, and I was on out in the field going on some research up in the Mogollon Rim. So I couldn't make it for a week. We had Rex Howdyshell get out there and hook up with Larry. And, you know, I guess as soon as he saw her, he was like, oh, my God, this is real. You know, you guys need to come. But the story goes that Larry usually goes up there on the holidays when he's not working. And, you know, for longer periods of time on the holidays where he has more time off. So Thanksgiving is a big one. And at the time, around that period of time, this would be right around the same time that the great Michael Jackson passed away. I remember that happening that same week. But Larry's wife would go back home to Ohio, and Larry would go up to the cabin for a week or two at Thanksgiving and get as much work done on the cabins as he could. And he's a contractor, so he pretty much built those from the ground up, you know, at least the foundation and everything that goes with them. And the cabins themselves are a couple of trailers put L-shaped with a deck in between. But everything else he's built, including the outhouse. And whenever he does major construction, he would get harassed at night. And the only way to kind of say it, something would come out of the woods, bang on his cabin, walk through the property, the immediate property that he's cleared of all the stumps and stuff. And I don't think people understand. And Rob, Leonard, Dan, and I experienced this, along with the little cutie from the newspaper that I brought up there, from the Scottsdale Times and the Phoenix Times. And I forget her name. She's a true crime writer now. But she came up there with a photographer, and we were all sleeping outside because you had a huge crew there. Larry had his guys there. So we had the cabins, both cabins, full, including the one that's just really a kitchen, but we had people sleeping in both. And then we all had almost like our own campsites. You know, Rob and, what's her name, Heather? Rob and Heather were first, then Len and Dan, then myself. I always get to be the furthest one out. But what Larry would hear is something walk out of the woods. And whatever it was, like an elephant, was so freaking big that you could feel it. And that very first night, we're sleeping basically under the stars. I'm in my truck with the windows and the tailgate open. Rob's, you know Rob, he's probably on the ground or in the tailgate of his truck. And Heather and her friend were in their tent. And Len and Dan was in the bed of his truck, just like Rob. And I don't know, 2-3 in the morning, the ground started shaking like something out of a 1950 horror movie. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And whatever was doing it, it seemed to like walk right through the camp and out the other side. And we didn't see nothing, but we could certainly feel it and hear it. And we all got up and looked around and, did you hear that? Did you see that? But there was nothing. He couldn't find nothing. So Larry heard that happen, and it would come right up to his cabin. He knew it was there because you can feel it and you can hear it. It would walk around the side of the cabin to where the potbelly stove was and the pipe that goes outside, we assumed, to get warm. And then it would walk off the other way, and you could feel it and hear it through that. And one night, as this is happening with a friend with him, this man, John, who's passed away now, while it was doing that, after it walked away, it threw Larry's gulch or, you know, canyon, as we called it, which was volcanic rock, gigantic boulders and sharp, jagged boulders. Larry and John heard a scream and scared the bejesus out of them. The next day, they went out there, looked around, and Larry's shooting gallery, kind of a shooting course that he has set up, he'd run me through that, was right there in that gallery. And they went out there, they looked around, and finally they found a rock that was kind of bloody. And next to it was the toenail. And, you know, didn't know what was going on. But after that, Larry started doing some research and came upon your name and called you up, and the rest is kind of history. We were up there within a couple of weeks, and, you know, Rex was up there that first week, and we were up there within 2 weeks later. And I sent it around to two DNA labs before we ended up getting it. You and Rob drove it to Texas, and we had it with Dr. Ketchum and the DNA study. And I guess what they've seen is that it's, you know, and the percentages don't work. They don't talk like that. But to put it in layman's terms, and Bob used to be able to explain this, and Richard, basically it's, you know, 99% human and 1% something else. And that something else, you know, basically it's about
halfway in
between.
It was European. I remember being European also.
Halfway in between a chimpanzee and a human, basically, the DNA and chromosomes that I'm seeing. Now, here's something that I usually don't tell people, and this is really cool, and this is interesting, and this is like, this is the big topic for a discussion that nobody talks about, but that DNA that basically Melba Ketchum couldn't sequence and Richard, who was, or whoever was helping her, couldn't sequence, was unlike any other DNA from a living, warm-blooded or cold-blooded creature. It was a single-stranded DNA. And everybody knows that human DNA is a double helix, right? Single-stranded DNA is plant life. And or alien. So this DNA that's changed or makes this creature different from a human or different from an ape is somewhat alien to us, maybe literally. And the only single-stranded DNA is plants and some viruses, I believe.
You know what I really think? I think we needed Dr. Fauci back then. He would have gotten to the mystery, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I got other people needs to talk here, and when you and I get immersed in this, we never shut up. So let's you know who I want to hear from? Let's hear from Rockstar, because people keep saying to me, you know, Rocky, before he became a co-host with you, we used to get him on. He used to tell us some of those great stories about wrestling a bear and killing one of the creatures and yada, yada, yada. Rocky, you tell the story how you got into the Bigfoot field, how we met, and stories that where we've gone and where you are today.
Well, like you say, I wrestled a bear, and yes, I had an encounter out in the woods with a unknown species of creature. And it was me and my dad, my brother, and a guy named Dennis, all out there together. We had the little encounter on a piece of property that my brother had way out in the middle of nowhere. And after everything calmed down a little bit, they found me with blood on me. Anyhow, we agreed. Everybody agreed that we weren't going to tell this story. Dennis swore that he wouldn't tell anybody, and he didn't until he got out of the woods. Within a week or so of it happening, I got a phone call from a woman with the Society for the Study of Human and Aerial Phenomenon, and she wanted to know you know, the whole story and all that, and I wouldn't talk to her at all. Well, sometime after that, I got a phone call from Unsolved Mysteries for the same reason. They wanted to interview me. They wanted to they wanted to hear my story, and I told them that I didn't have a story and hung up on them. Well, sometime after that, I was contacted by Monster Quest. And same thing, I didn't want to talk to them. And then I think it was around 2005, I guess, somewhere around in there, give or take, I got a phone call from Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated. And anyhow, I said, yeah, we're just right around the corner. Can we stop in and talk to you for a while? And I said, sure. Well, you and Youngblood and somebody else. Who was it? Was it Coffee? I can't remember who was with y'all. You and Youngblood sit there and interviewed me for a couple of hours at my restaurant. And so
that was more like 2010.
I'm sorry?
I think that was more like 2010 or 9. I was with Tom then, I remember. Youngblood didn't come into the equation until 8 or 9.
Yeah, he was there. He came into the restaurant with
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, that was after the toenail. So that probably 2009 or 10.
No, that's
didn't
more like 2005 or 6. Anyhow.
No, Youngblood didn't know Tom then.
Well, I don't know what year it was, but Youngblood is with him. Anyhow.
Yeah, so 9 or 10.
He called me that night and asked me if I wanted to be on the show. And he said on the webcast, well, you know, I didn't know what a webcast was. So anyhow, I thought it over and I finally said, okay. And so I came on that night and we talked. I told a little bit of it, but, you know, Tom came down here probably 3 times before it just all came out, what all I went through. And first time I went out with him, we went to Mammoth Springs, Missouri, and had a good time, drove around and talked to some interesting people, and the one time he came in, asked me if I would do an interview with the BBC. And I said, sure. But I made them film me from behind. And the Swede was with us. I brought the Swede along. Well, the Swede didn't know anything about it. So we did the interview at a friend's apartment. And the Swede, he's there and took it all in. And so when it was all over with, everybody was fixing to go their way. We got out to my truck.
That time there, I remember it like it was yesterday. I gave you a gift. What was that gift?
That's what I was saying. I've got it in my gun safe, my little case, stick of butter pocket knife.
That's right.
At the same time, I gave you a...
Jim Bowie knife.
Pretty much. the one that I was carrying the night that night out in the woods. We got back out to the truck, and I was, you know, I was all excited about that little pocket knife. And Sweet was real quiet. And I looked over there, and I asked him, he said, what? He said, why didn't I hear any of this? And I said, well, you know, said, I didn't want you to think I was crazy. And he said, well, I don't think you're crazy. He said, I think you're an asshole for not telling me. Okay. Well, that was the first time he had called me an asshole. It happened a few times after that. But anyhow, that's how I got with Tom. And then we've been, oh, gosh, I put a lot of miles in with y'all. The one trip, it was 9,000 miles. So, yeah.
People would never believe it.
Oh, well, you know, if they don't believe it, well, you know, they need to find a new hobby then. I'm kind of to the point that I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to what other people believe. And, you know, I'm kind of like Alex. When I saw it eye to eye, well, okay, I kind of didn't give a crap what people thought. You know, once they found out, you know, the ones that found out, if they had a problem with it, well, I just went on about my business and let them think what they wanted to. But a lot of miles, put on a lot of miles with you, and then, you know, you sent me and the Sweet out a couple of times, and then where were we? I think we were in Fred, Texas.
Oh my God!
We had the news.
Remember that?
We had the news crew with us, and anyhow, it was so funny because it's kind of nasty weather out there. It's kind of cold and all that, and you know, everybody was pretty much dressed for it except the woman with the news crew, and she was wearing these little slipper things, and you know, we were all in rubber boots and stuff. So we got out there, and we was trudging around out in all of that stuff, and she was a trooper. She was a trooper. It didn't bother her at all.
You remember what she heard that night?
Yes, I do. That's what I was going to say. We got back to camp, and she asked Tommy. She said, well, you know, I see them on TV. They do this hooping thing. She said, do y'all do that? And Tommy said, yes, I do. And she said, well, would you do one for me? I said, sure. They got the camera up there. It's filming it all. Tommy let out with a whoop, and we stood there for a minute. Then he did it the second time. And then from the direction that we had just come from, we got the answer. We got a hoop coming back. Well, we were on the news that night. The Bigfoot answering, Tommy, was on the news that night. It was great. It was great. It made me feel a lot better knowing that there was other people standing around that heard it too. Me and Doyle, in our little place, we heard something cry out in the woods twice, and I couldn't tell him what it was. Well, Tommy recorded it, and when he had it checked out, it came back simian. Tom, hair samples, and it came back, I'm not sure what it came back. I think it came back kind of what Alex Hearn was talking about. it was kind of an in-between thing. But and that's how I got to be with Tom and the boys, and well, here I am still. But now then I'm doing more talking than walking, so.
Well, we've been kind of handicapped, folks, like everybody else, but things are opening up. I got an announcement to make. Every time I turn around, you got to forgive me, folks. Every time I turn around, I thought it was 7 o'clock. Now it's only 5 minutes left. But next week, Bill Trabell, the Pulitzer Prize nominee, and our personal, the Swede, are going to take the show over. I'm going to allow them to do 3 shows in a row, as I know they can do it. Rocky's going to stand by in case they screw up. But I don't think we'll have to worry.
Rocky, we'll, stand by. Oh,
that's
stand
right.
By.
There you go. Stand by. I like that even better. So what do you think you guys are going to bring up next week as the topic? Will and Sweet?
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to think about it for during the week here, but I guarantee you it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I can dig it. Absolutely, man. You were saying at the beginning of the show, even follow-up. I wouldn't call it that, a follow-up on what they did. I think we debunked them. I think it's not a follow-up. What would you call it? It'd be the first.
Yeah.
To go the distance, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to talk about.
That would be the first of a 3-part thing.
I love it.
Yep.
I love it. I think it's really cool. Yeah.
Well,
but
it's going to be you guys, and I'm going to be on the outside listening in. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But
we'll
not to worry. If you need content... Father Ray will be there also, right, Father Ray? Father Ray, you sleeping?
No, I'm here. I was
you didn't
muted.
Have any of that altar wine today, did you?
I had the blood of Christ, yes. I had about a tablespoon of the blood of Christ.
Yeah, you bet you did. I believe that. Tell me that, and I'll tell you another story. All right, do me a favor. Let us go out with a beautiful prayer to the big sky in the sky. And to all the people around this beautiful globe for us, would you?
And Doyle.
And Doyle. And Doyle, yeah. Did you guys talk about Doyle last week?
I talked to Father Ray about him today.
No, did you talk on the air?
No.
No.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, folks. Doyle, down there in Middlesbrough, Kentucky, good friend of ours, good friend of the Bigfoot people, retired cop. Slipped, fell, hit his head, went unconscious, and died. We hadn't heard from him in 2 weeks. In 2 months. My son, TJ, went to Middlesbrough, found out he was in the hospital, and he's making his way back. And our prayers go out to him and his family. We love him to death. And if there's anything that we can do, we're available. Moral of this story is, folks, people are bored. People sometimes do a little bit more drinking than they want to do, a little bit more drugs than they want to do, and it gets away from them. I'm not saying that's what happened to him. I'm just saying that's the majority of the folk. You fall down, you break a few ribs, you hit your head, you go into a coma. He just happened to be lucky.
Puncture your lungs. Yeah.
That's right, and puncture your lungs like he did, okay?
Wow.
So the key to it is, we're not going to do that stuff no more. And Father Ray, lead us into a peace exiting prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God our Father, we ask you to look over and protect and heal our brother Doyle. Bring him restore him to full health. For your honor and glory, let him be a sign of your healing power. Please bless us in our activities. May what we do give you honor and glory as we try to bring forth and understand the truth of this creature that you have created, the Bigfoot. Keep us all safe, spiritually and physically. Amen.
Amen.
Sunday. Amen.
Amen. Will Trebell, Rockstar,
yes,
Father Ray, Alex Hearn, Swede, and all the other Bigfoot fans around the globe, kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Thank everybody for coming in. We will see y'all next Wednesday.
Sounds good. We'll talk.
Yes, sir. Let's do some fitness.
It'll be good.
Good night, everybody. Well, good night.
Once again, it's time good to night. Say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the question.